I'm going to say that again.
The
lecture series that we're about to start now is one that I'd like to call the God-fearing Mensch. That's going to be the lecture series for the year. And it's going to be talking about the philosophy, and to be more precise, the ideals and the overall Hashkafat Olam, the overall Weltanschauung of my Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Amital Zichrono Livracha. So I come to it with a great sense of trepidation on the one hand, that God forbid I shouldn't misrepresent a man who I owe so much to. In fact, I believe that I'm sitting here now only because of him. And on the other hand, I come to it with a great sense of obligation, because I believe that during his lifetime, as we'll see, he was not presented properly in the realm that I'll present him. So I want to make it very clear as to where we're going to go. The book that we're going to learn together this year, as opposed to past years where we didn't learn a text, is this book called V'ha'aretz Natan Livnei Adam, and the land was given to human beings. Anyone know where that pasuk is taken from? Hashamayim, Shamayim, LaHashem. The heavens are the heavens to God. The Haaretz and the earth, Natan Livnei Adam, was given to human beings. Where is it taken from? Tehillim is correct. When do we say it in our liturgy? In davening. You're very, very good. Get a little more specific, please. Everyone forgot that when I ask questions. Hallel, excellent. In Hallel, we usually sing it, Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, VeHaaretz Natan Livnei Adam, which I believe is the best way that I could begin this lecture series. I'm going to throw in some biographical material, but as opposed to a lecture where first you hear about the biography, and then we get into the philosophy, what I'm going to do is, as the next few weeks go by, I'm going to try to weave in the biographical material, because I believe it has a very strong influence on what he tried to teach. Rav Yehuda Amital was born in 1924 in Hungary. Stop here. That very fact that he was born in Hungary had a very strong impact on him and what he taught. And I'll tell you what he meant. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shekol nehavit varo. He used to say, "Bohungalia haya kavod gam labalabatim." In Hungary, we used to have respect also for balabatim, also for simple Jews that are good, God-fearing Jews that go to shul, that learn, but are not talmidei chachamim, are not Talmudic scholars, are not rabbis, are not educators. And when he ultimately built the yeshiva that you all know of very close by, he was very adamant not to build a yeshiva, as is the custom of yeshivas, maybe throughout time as much as we know the yeshiva world, going back to Volozhin of 1802, all the way to this day. And that is that there's two kinds of people out there. There's the high B'nai Torah, the elitists, and then there's the balabatim. The B'nai Torah daven on a regular Sunday morning about an hour, and mincha takes about 30 minutes, and Ma'ariv takes 25 minutes, and they're the ones that have chumras, and that's the way you're supposed to act. And then, b'di'evet, God, what are you going to do? You have to work for a living. Work, a dirty word. And you have to go out, and you have to get to work on time. So you have to daven in a minyan, that daven's chick-chock 35 minutes in and out, and mincha's a 10-minute ordeal, and maybe you schnep in a Ma'ariv. That's b'di'evet. When he built the yeshiva, and when he taught, he was not trying to develop an elitist community that would be separate from the rest of the Jewish people. But rather, he was trying to develop Jews who would be God-fearing, and ultimately be able to be part and parcel with the world around us. And therefore, this book that we're going to learn is called V'ha'aretz Natan Livnei Adam, and the land was given to human beings. Namely, the land, the earth, is not just for the elitists, it's not just for the yeshiva bachers. That's not the most important and only part of the world. Obviously, it's important. And my Rebbe Rav Amital was a Rosh Yeshiva. But he felt very strongly that he has kavod for balabatim as well. In other words, he has kavod for people that will work for a living, will raise God willing, God fearing families. And therefore, when he made the yeshiva and everything we're going to learn, I feel it's very important, and therefore I started with the word, I feel a sense of obligation, because it wasn't meant for yeshiva bakers. It was meant for people who will ultimately join the workforce of the Jewish people, as balabat. But, and this I've said many times and emphasized, with one caveat. So he said until now that he never wanted a yeshiva in which there'd be two kinds of people. There'd be the yeshiva bachers, the bnei Torah, and then there'll be the rest. He wanted them to be part and parcel of society. With one caveat. And this I've said many times around this table. There's no excuse for Jewish ignorance. If you want to be a God-fearing Jew, you have to learn. Many times, Bruce have asked the question, others have asked, well, how am I supposed to know? And what have I always answered? Learn! How am I supposed to know what's a d'oraisa, and what's a d'rabbanan, what's a biblical law, rabbinic law, etc.? What was my answer? He felt you need to have in the religious Zionist community, balabatim, who are learned. Not yeshiva students who are elitist, that don't mingle with the people. No, people that mingle with the people, but are people that can open a Gemara, are people that can give a Dvar Torah that's coherent. So ultimately, that's why I feel that the fact that he was born in Hungary, and he said, in Hungary we had kavod for balabatim, is the reason I'm giving this series this year. Because if I thought for a minute that everything I'm about to say has to do just with yeshiva bachers, I'd give it to yeshiva bachers. I'd find a group of people that could stand me, and I'd talk to them. Not too many people could stand me, so it'd probably be hard to find. But eventually, after looking in every nook and cranny, I'd find them. But this philosophy is meant for every Jew. This is not just meant for the people that are in a yeshiva in a closed world. This is meant for every Jew. Now, the history of this book is a very fascinating one. What happened was, at a certain point, the yeshiva wanted to write down what they stand for, and they came up with a bunch of things. And Rav Amital saw the list and got very upset, and the next day he added to the list about 10 more things. So eventually he gave shiurim on it. One of his students, one of the rebbes in the yeshiva, Rav Amnon Bazak, who you may have heard of, compiled it into this book. And that's the book that we're going to learn together. And that's the book that I believe you'll find much, much relevance in, simply because I believe that this book is meant for balabatim as much as it's meant for yeshiva bachers. And therefore, what is this series going to be called? The God-fearing mensch. Not the God-fearing yeshiva bacher. Not the God-fearing rabbi. Not the God-fearing talmid chacham. The God-fearing mensch. In Yiddish, a mensch is what? A human being. A human being. Every time we talk about a mensch, we talk about derech eretz. We talk about things that we believe every Jew should do. There shouldn't be any difference in anything I'm about to say here this year between a yeshiva bacher and a 40, 50, 60-year-old who works for a living. That's the premise. That's the name of the book, V'ha'aretz Natan Livnei Adam. That Jews have to know how to function within the real world. Not the world that's a bubble, like the few years you've spent in yeshiva or university. Lahavdin. Rather, it is for everyone. Yes?
I have a question about the statement you made about being born in Hungary, having respect for Balabatim. First of all, I don't know that was unique to the Hungarian Jewish experience. Certainly in Germany, they had, great respect for Balabatim. I know that this was a problem in places like Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
Which had a very elitist kind of approach. But I don't know, Poland generally speaking, I've been doing some research on Polish Jewry. My family came from around Krakow, in Galicia, on my father's side. And from what I can tell, the concept of elitism that you identify with the yeshiva world, or at least the Rav Amital did, was not so strong in southern Poland and Galicia,
parts
of East Europe.
Again,
as it was in Lithuania.
You're probably right, and I accept your premise. obviously, I'm talking within his Ventalshank, and where he came from, but you're right, in other places it was true. But today we have a certain aura out there where they say that if you're a real Yirei Shemayim, you should do A. But if you go ahead and you want to be Mekel, because you're a Balabayit, you should do B. And that talk was very foreign to him, even as a Rosh Yeshiva. And I'll give you a story to illustrate what I mean. A gentleman came up to him and tried to understand what the Mishnah Berurah says regarding tzitzis, some law on tzitzis, where the Mishnah Berurah says, Yirei Shemayim, Yitzei Yidei Chovat Shneihem. Or a big chassid, Yitzei Yidei Chovat Shneihem, will try to fulfill all opinions. So Rav Amital told him, you see, that's the difference between me and you. When it says a big chassid, a big God-fearing Jew should try to do this, you think he's talking about you. When I read it, I know he's not talking about me. Because I'm a simple Jew. And that, ultimately, is why I feel that his philosophy is as relevant to people that were sat at his footsteps in a yeshiva as it is to balabatim like us who are no longer in that world and can't maybe even be in that world since we have so many obligations. One second. Yes.
Just the same thing.
Okay. Very good. Yes, Bruce.
There was a new Baal Shuvah many years ago. We had asked my wife and I a question about somewhere to eat. And I remember the person said, you can eat there. Hi, Michael. We may not eat there, but you certainly can eat there. And we didn't quite understand what that even referred to.
Exactly.
But we weren't happy to hear that.
And the truth is that, just to illustrate another story, there was once one of the rabbeim in the yeshiva made a simcha for one of his kids in the yeshiva. And the Rav Amital was speaking to the Bala Simcha, and then a gentleman with what we call black clothes, colloquially today, came up to the Rebbe and said, what's the kashrus on the kitchen here? Which meat do you use? And Rav Amital got very upset and looked at him and said, it's treif! It's 100% treif! You can't eat there! And the premise was, I heard the story, so I'm putting now my interpretation. How dare you come to a yeshiva kitchen and question the kashrus?
Yeah.
Now, I understand people have chumras. If you recall, last year we went through the laws of chumras. But with due respect, a chumrah should be, one of the laws of chumras are, it's personal. You have the audacity to ask about a yeshiva what kashrus they follow? That was foreign to him. So therefore, we're going to talk here like Balabatim. We're going to talk here like Jews who are trying to be God-fearing Jews, but trying to be Menshes at the same time. During Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rav Amital was also a Baal Tefillah. And part of davening, most of davening was not sung. It was said in such an authentic way that any of his students can tell you they miss it to this day. But there was one few parts that he sung, and we knew that were very close to his heart. And one of them was what we say in Zichronot on Rosh Hashanah. One of the three added blessings on the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is Zichronot, remembrances. And we say the following words there, which was turned later into a song. Ashrei ish shelo yishkachecha uven adam yitametz pach. Blessed is the person that doesn't forget you, God, because we're talking about Zichronot, remembrances. Uven adam yitametz pach. And a human being that constantly, what's yitametz? What's ma'amatz?
Struggles
with you. Namely, he would sing this part because the word Ben Adam was so close to his heart. A mensch. He used to say that in Hungary, in Europe, they used to say in the morning, Lo'olam Yehei Adam Yerei Shamayim. It's in all your Sidurim. Right after the Brachos and the Akedah, Lo'olam Yehei Adam Yerei Shamayim. He said in Hungary, he used to say, Lo'olam Yehei Adam, comma, Yerei Shamayim. You have to be a mensch, and then you have to be a Yerei Shamayim. And that's ultimately what I think I would like to achieve this year together with you. We're Balabatim, that are Adam, and Yerei Shamayim. We are not trying to be God-fearing Jews that are not mensches, and we're not trying to be mensches that are not God-fearing Jews. Because both are very dangerous. You can have a mensch that's very polite and kind to everyone, and then a person comes up to this kind and polite person and says, can you marry me? I want to marry a Kohen, I want to marry a divorcee. I'm such a nice guy, how can I say no? And you go ahead and you do it. You give me a ride on Shabbos, I'm such a nice guy, how can I say no? Go. On the other hand, if what only governs you is the Yirat Shamayim, is the God fear, if the fear of heaven, and you're not, sometimes it could come on the cheshbon of being a mensch. How many people do we know that look religious, act religious, eat the only highest kashrus in the world, but have no problem to cheat on taxes? How many people do we know are so makbid on Hilchos Shabbos, and yet when they come to shul, and someone's sitting in their chair, they put up a ruckus, like it's the worst thing in the world, like you stole $1 million from them? How many people? How many people do we know that ultimately walk around, God-fearing Jews, and someone knocks on their door and says, I'm collecting tzedakah, and you give them the tzedakah with a sour face? Which, by the way, is absolutely wrong. The Torah, halachic work, Paskins based on our parsha we just read, Re'eh, where it says explicitly you have to give tzedakah, and the Torah says, Ve'lo yira levavcha betitchalal, and your heart shouldn't feel bad when you give tzedakah. It's like one of the only mitzvot I know in the Torah where the Torah tells you what to feel when you do a mitzvah. Usually it says to shake, to eat, to this, to that. It doesn't say what to feel. Here it tells you, don't feel bad. And the Torah paskins it lahalacha, that when you give tzedakah to a poor person, you have to do it with a smile. What's the story over here? So Rashi in our parsha says something beautiful. It says, Vasita yashar v'hatov b'nei Hashem. You should do what's straight and what's good in the eyes of God. So obviously the Torah says yashar on the one hand, and tov on the other, they're not the same. So what's the difference? What's straight versus good in the eyes of God?
Maybe fulfilling to the requirements, and straight is your attitude about it.
Could very well be. Nice answer. Rashi explains, "Vasita hayashar vatovis hayashar beinei Hashem." What God tells you to do, halacha, Torah. Vehatov means it's good in the eyes of the people. In other words, God told you on Shabbos to go ahead and to go to shul. That's fine. That's important. Now, there's different ways to go to shul on Shabbos. You can walk with your talis in your hands. And if there's no Eruv, you can do one of two things. You can bring your talis Friday and leave it in shul. Or what else can you do?
Wear it.
So, you find yourself in Chutz Laaretz, in a place where there aren't many Jews. And you, a God-fearing Jew, are going to go ahead and wear your talis to shul on a day like this, very hot. Everyone's going to see it. What do you say? What are the people going to say about you? Asita yashar. You're doing what God said. Asita yashar. God says not to carry, you're not carrying. What do you think people are going to say?
Jews, non-Jews.
Non-Jews I'm talking about here. This guy looks like a nut. What's he wearing? These dangling strings from him? What's the story? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was absolutely, vehemently against wearing a talis to shul. And he lived in Muncie. He lived in Brooklyn. He didn't live in neighborhoods in New York that we would consider non-Jewish neighborhoods. And he said, we don't walk around with talisim in public. Because it's not just what's good in the eyes of God, it's good with the eyes of the people. When you give a tzedakah, you may be doing a mitzvah, but it's not enough to do a mitzvah in the eyes of God. It has to be a mitzvah in the eyes of the people there. So how do you give the tzedakah? How do you go ahead and give over that tzedakah? And then allow me to end with this very point. Every morning in davening and afternoon and evening, except for Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we have a bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Blessed be you God, the King that loves Tzedakah and Mishpat. So once again, I'll do the same trick as I did before. What's the difference between Tzedakah and Mishpat? They're obviously not the same, because we say both. In the Haftorah, right before Tisha B'Av, Tzion Bemishpat Tipadeh Veshaveha Bitzdakah. Zion with Mishpat will be redeemed, and its returnees with Tzedakah. So what's the difference between Tzedakah and Mishpat? We have it many times. What's the difference?
Mishpat maybe justice and charity.
Justice and charity. I'd like to say justice. Mishpat means what the Shulchan Aruch tells you to do. And tzedakah is what a Jew, a human being, should be doing. And God is not just a God of Mishpat. He's a God of tzedakah. How many times do we say God is a kel racham v'chanun and not just a melech? How many times do we refer to God not just as Malkeinu, but as Avinu? Not just as our God in heaven, our King, but rather as our Father. A Jew should have a natural menschlichkeit feeling, and not just the feeling of God fearing. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? So you can give tzedakah with a sour face. Maybe you mekayim the mitzvah, but you did it in the sense of mishpat, not in the sense of tzedakah. Give you another example, and here I'm quoting from my Rebbe Rav Amital. He used to sometimes come into the base medrashes when he had these havrakot. How do you say havrakot? Like he had this light bulb go on in his head that all of a sudden, wow! So he walked in, he went up to a group of kids, a group of yeshiva bachas learning, and he said, how come there's no mitzvah, how come there's no bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah? We read in Parshat Re'eh, we just read yesterday, there's a mitzvah of tzedakah. So how come you'll say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu okay, Melech Olam, Asher Kedishanu B'Shamayim Tzivanu, Latei Tzedakah, La'anik Tzedakah, whatever.
I think we say because the recipient, if they don't accept it or there's a problem there, it's not fulfilled, and then you can't make that bracha.
So Bruce is quoting the Rashba, one of the great Rishonim, who says exactly as Bruce does, or maybe vice versa, who says that maybe the recipient won't accept your tzedakah. You'll take out 5 shekels, he'll say, what, that's it? Then your bracha is a bracha levatola. It's the old joke. A guy wants to kill a Jew. He comes up to him, and the Jew's ready to mekadesh shem shamayim, to sanctify the name of heaven. So he starts saying, hinnei muchan mezumon lekayim mitzvah, and he says, baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu melech olam, asher kitshamta mitzvanu lekadesh et shemcha barabim. And the guy is so taken aback. He says, wow, you're such a holy person, I'm not going to kill you. So what does the Jew answer? I just made a bracha, you have to kill me, it'll be a bracha levatala. So that's the Rashba's answer. Rav Amital says, that's not the answer. I'll tell you the answer. If you told the Jew to make a bracha on tzedakah, this is the situation. Ani, poor person, knocks on your door. Hello, can you give me some tzedakah? Are you a bona fide poor person? Yes. You have the authorization from the Mo'atzah? Yes. All that takes 5 seconds. That's great! He runs to a sink, he washes his hands 3 times. Then he goes and takes his jacket, puts it on. Then he puts on his garter. Then he puts on his hat. Then he says, Hinini muchan mizum mekayim mitzvah b'shem kol Yisrael. And then he says the bracha. By the time he's finished all this, either that poor person died of hunger, or he went to the next house. Said Rav Amital, that's the reason why there's no beracha on tzedakah. It's supposed to come directly from your heart to the na. And it's also a mitzvah. Same thing says the Sri Deyesh, another great thinker of the 20th century, a great Talmud Chacham and rabbi, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He says, why is there no beracha on Mishloach Manot, on Shalach Manas that we give on Purim? He says, because it should come from the bottom of your heart that you want to give food to another Jew. And if there would be a bracha, in a sense it would minimize it. In the same situation again. You put on your hat, your garter, you wash your hands, and this, and by the time you're finished, the guy says, no thank you. So what we're trying to do around this table is by the end of the year, I hope we can be God-fearing menches. That's the goal I am putting in front of myself and you for this coming year. That's what we're going to try to do by learning this book, Ve'ha'aretz Natan Livnei Adam. Whoever would like to acquire it, it's not so expensive, it's soft cover. Whoever would not like to acquire it doesn't have to. I'll be reading from it, so therefore you don't have to worry about it. But the truth of the matter is, the land was given to human beings, and we have an obligation to be human beings and God-fearing. Le'olam Yehe Adam, on the one hand, and Yirei Shamayim, on the other. And that's ultimately what we'll try to do around this table, God willing, as the year goes on.